And now, after almost 2 weeks out of the chair, wondering where exactly am I, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Were we on the road a week ago Friday?
I was asking Rob. It doesn't show, but I know you were out Wednesday and Thursday the last week you were here. Then you were on vacation. We were out on the road the last 2 days. So
yeah,
I couldn't tell if it's been exactly, if it's been more than 2 weeks or if it's been 11 days.
I think we might have been in studio Friday.
I think
we were
too.
In studio Friday.
That's why I said 11 days.
Good to be back in the comfort of the Rally House studio. Mm-hmm. The plush accommodations for the program here at the Rally House studios. And you know what I found that is still true after a couple of weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. That ain't going to change.
I'm going to solve that.
Give that a shot.
Bing.
Yeah.
There we go.
At least it won't annoy the hell out of
you. Side out of mind.
Just something's
annoying you of the electronic variety. Just turn it off.
Best way.
Simple as that.
If you can't jiggle the handle, these things don't have handles anymore, just turn it off. So I will say this chair, much more comfortable than the one I sat in the last 2 days.
You don't like the folding chairs at training camp?
They're a little low for someone of my size and height.
Yeah, okay.
Not exactly conducive to comfort for a 6'4", 350 guy.
Okay. Important safety tip there. Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate that. thanks for joining us here in the program. Hot Take's loving his day, right? Intern Hot Take. He's got a bang-up day. I do love what's going on with them. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later on. Put a task in front of somebody. We'll find out if they can finish it. Find out who wants a grade. I mean, that's what we're really getting to. We'll talk about that
later.
Do
this by then.
Let's get things started. Big program for you today. Aren't they all, really?
Oh, man.
I mean,
how do you differentiate between?
You just think Everest doesn't get any bigger, and then today happens. We're going to talk to Jake Trotter from ESPN about the Big 12. Get his thoughts. I want his thoughts as I'm putting together my AP preseason vote. Began that work on the...
It's a Big 12!
It is, indeed. Thank you, Coach. Where is he now? Dan Hawkins. Did I get his first name right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a miracle.
His son, Cody, was the quarterback of that team that got him fired.
It's the Big 12. It's the CFL! He was in the CFL for a while.
Unemployed!
Where do all coaches end up? The AAF?
It's the unemployment line.
It's not working no more.
What was the list we saw the other day of the AAF coaches? Wouldn't shock me if he's on someone's staff down there.
Yeah.
With Spurrier and all those guys who are
doing
a good
job at Boise State. I mean, he's like a punchline now, but the guy has some coaching abilities. Would you look it up? Or you got a weird look on your face.
My computer just went black for a second.
Oh, okay.
That's a new thing it's doing.
Yeah.
To keep things interesting. You thought I was fixed.
You guys got to keep your relationships fresh.
They told you it was fixed,
yeah.
Right?
But hey, this thing's working great.
Yeah.
Never worked any better. Oh, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's start. So we're going to talk to Jake Trotter about the Big 12. We're going to talk to Jason Stark about all things baseball, which doesn't include the Royals. Although I do want to get to the bottom of Drew Butera at first base. So I think and just – Royals fans, hold on. It's coming. I'm not going to start with it. I'm going to start with the Chiefs and Daniel Sorensen. Look at this kid. This kid, nice work. Tell the kid nice work.
Bringing it strong.
He brought something that I didn't even ask for. I was like, way to go, man. Nice work. Yeah, I know you did. You're a good man. You're a good man.
Hoodie time.
Proud of you. We're going to talk about Daniel Sorensen here in a second, but we'll talk to Jason Stark, and one of the things we'll discuss is Drew Butera playing first base. Everybody's missing the obvious with Drew Butera playing first base, so I'll get to that shortly here in the program, but we'll discuss it with Jason Stark. Frank Bohl will be with us. And we had to move Frank to the 1 o'clock hour, is that correct? Nothing like coming down the stretch with Frank Bohl. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Was not cleared at my desk, but then again, it's not my job. That's Rob's job. Nice effort. I kind of like finishing with Frank. Be good.
Yeah.
Be good. Let's talk about Daniel Sorensen, though. Out 8 weeks for the Chiefs. I had a number of people saying, well, what do you think? What does this mean? What's it going to mean? Let me give you a couple of things about Daniel Sorensen. And in a way, maybe... In a way, maybe give you some insight into what they're thinking with why Bob Sutton is still the defensive coordinator. Let me remind you of the finishes of Bob Sutton as the Chiefs defensive coordinator, right? The defense, the Patrick Mahomes, what's he going to be? And then Bob Sutton, how can he possibly still be the Chiefs defensive coordinator? Let's discuss what Bob Sutton has done, statistically speaking, with the Kansas City Chiefs as their defensive coordinator. 2013, he was fifth in the NFL defensively against points allowed, 24th yardage-wise. In 2014, that year, of course, the Chiefs started, what, 9-0, 8-0?
Correct, 9-0.
9-0, finished 11-5, led the Colts, and got spanked in the second half and lost. 2014, they would go 9-7 and miss the playoffs. They were second in points allowed, seventh overall in yards allowed. Doesn't seem to be his fault that they missed the playoffs and going 9-7 that year. The following year, and really these are the years that brought the narrative that, you know, Alex Smith being the guy that, look, you're paying a lot of money for a guy to finish. I mean, basically, the defense has been grossly outperforming. The defense has outperformed the offense virtually every single year. All right, let me point something out. Bob Sutton versus Andy Reid. Let's do this. 13 points, Andy Reid's offense, sixth, right, which includes special teams and defensive scores, right? Points for the defense, fifth. Yardage, Andy Reid's offense was 21st. Bob Sutton's was 24th. Call it a push, right? Each of them plays into the points. They each play a role in the points. One, field position and all those different things. So that's why yardage is usually considered the way to measure because, you know, the points can be, listen, did the offense throw, you know, fumble the ball at their own nine and then you gave up a field goal? I mean, that's a great defensive stand. But you gave up three more points. It goes against you. Following year, the offense is 16 points and 25 yardage. Defense is second in points, seventh in yardage. He grossly outperforms. During the 9-7 season, the defense grossly outperforms the offense. 2015, the Chiefs would be 11-5. They would make the that's where they started 1-5 and won 10 in a row, won a playoff game. Ninth in points on offense, 27th in yards for the offense. Defensively, third in points, seventh in yards. Again, the defense grossly outperforms the offense. 2016, Andy Reid's offense ranks third in points scored. 20th in yards. The defense ranks 7th in points allowed, 24th in yards. Kind of a push.
Yeah.
And then last year, Andy Reid's offense stomps all over the defense. 6th in points scored, 5th in yards. Defensively, Chiefs 15th in points allowed, 28th in yards allowed. All right, so Bob Sutton is better than we might think right now based upon the statistics that are out there on him, particularly in points allowed. Bob Sutton's year of points allowed, 5th. 2nd, 3rd, 7th, 15th. Okay, a couple of things about why Bob Sutton is still here and maybe some of the personnel decisions that have been made. First, you want to give you, I'll give you the here's why Daniel Sorensen being hurt doesn't matter at all. You want to go tell your friends that? Daniel Sorensen's tackles, right? Total tackles.
Total tackles.
All right. 7. In 2014, 23 and 15. 2016, he had 63. 2017, he had 89. And he played 16 games in 15 and 16, only 15 last year. And he had by far his highest tackle total of 89. Now, there are a couple of ways to look at that. One, either see the front seven sucks and he's having to make too many plays. Or you could say he's playing more, and the more he plays, the worse they are. Not that Daniel Sorensen blows, but that Daniel Sorensen is kind of like playing Paul Orlando every day. Different. Paul Orlando's a nice fifth outfielder. We'll spot him in. We'll give him a day against the hand that he hits best against. He's kind of a reverse split guy, so throw that out. But the idea behind Paul Orlando being, you know, we're going to give a guy a day off. We're going to play him on a day where we think we got a chance to steal a win. And we're going to try to match him up against pitchers or pinch hit him against pitchers that we think he's got a chance to really have some success. That's his role. But against the big boys, Lorenzo Cain's going to play. Alex Gordon's going to play. And if they ever settled on a real right fielder, during the course of the time he was there, that guy would have played. Right? Daniel Sorensen's that guy. He's your third, fourth safety. He's your dime safety. I'll be honest with you. Where should Daniel Sorensen play? He should be your dime safety. Your fourth safety. Maybe not even getting on the field. Playing special teams. And the guy that you go to when you say, listen, we need a guy that knows where he's supposed to be. We're out of the Uber athletes. We're out of anybody who's going to make any dynamic plays. What we need is a guy who knows what he's doing and is not going to kill us back there.
He's a technician.
That's Daniel Sorensen. When he starts, you got problems. Eric Berry got hurt. He had to play way too much last year. It was a problem. If Sorensen goes down and he was going to start, we're screwed in the deep patrol on defense. Even with Eric Berry back, it means his running mate's not good enough and Sorensen was going to start. You know, Sorensen's signature play is, and his signature season really is 2016. He had three interceptions and returned one for a touchdown. Do you remember how that occurred?
I remember the run back more than I remember the pick.
Who
remember
the tipped opponent? The ball against the Saints?
Nope.
The touchdown?
It was against the Falcons, wasn't it?
I'm 90% sure it was the Saints.
Did he tip the ball and Barry took one back
yes.
against the Falcons?
Yes, he tipped one and Barry took it back. Someone tipped it, and then he took it back against the Saints
against
at home.
The Saints, okay. That was his big year, right? But statistically speaking, they weren't very good, right? The more Daniel Sorensen's played, the worse the defense has gotten. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. The cap expenditure, as we've talked about with this team, and this is why anybody tells you, I'm not going to get caught up in the cap. There's always cap room, and it doesn't matter. Don't tell me about the cap. Okay, then don't. I'm not listening to you because you don't get the art of building a roster, right? I think, you know, in high school coaching, there's no cap, but who's on the team matters. And in the NFL and in Major League Baseball, where you have a payroll limitation like Dayton Moore does, the payroll and the diet salary cap that baseball has with the luxury tax absolutely matter to how these teams are put together. So anybody who gives you the bah humbug, don't bore me with the cap numbers, okay, then I'm sorry, you go back to 101 football, intro to football, because this is the 300-level course. Go complete the 100-level course, and then you come take my class that's 300-level. All right? That's what I would tell your friends if they don't want to hear about the cap, because the cap is vital. The Chiefs on defense, spending-wise on the cap, so those numbers I just gave you about Bob Sutton, this is their spending ranking, the percentage of their cap spent on defense over the years that Bob Sutton's defense amassed those statistics. Second, 18th and 15th, his two best years. Sixth and 16, an awful year. And 12th last year. Compared to Andy Reid's rankings, his offensive rankings on the cap, Andy Reid has ranked 22nd, 23rd, 19th, 24th, and 23rd. What Andy Reid has done, he has done without a huge amount of spending. Now, they're spending more. That number is going to go up this year. The Sammy Watkins contract, even with Alex Smith coming off the books, the Watkins contract is going to push them up. Kelsey's contract gets bigger right now. The offensive lineman contracts get bigger. I think even with Smith's numbers coming off the books, that number is going to go up. They're also carrying a healthy number for Alex Smith off the dead money on there that we have listed in a different category. So my point here is, yeah, right? It is absolutely a situation where defensively they've spent for it. They've spent more on defense, so Bob Sutton should have better numbers, and he does have better numbers than the offensive side, but he's been given a lot more money. The Daniel Sorensen part of the equation is this. You didn't have good enough players, and you were spending money on guys like Derek Johnson and Tom Bahali who weren't living up to the math that you were giving them. Right, so this is how the defense can get better. Because when guys get old, they get old. I heard a great discussion, and it's always great. Jeff Chedia and Nate and Steven and Jake and the guys were talking about the defense, and Jeff was like, I just don't see how the defense can get better. And Nate was saying, listen, Derek Johnson, I'm open to the idea that Anthony Hitchens is a lot better than Derek Johnson next year than Derek Johnson was last year. I'm open to that idea too. Right, and I know this, cap-wise, flushing Tom Bahali's money out and putting Breland Speaks into the roster over Tom Bahali, they're definitively better. Tom Bahali could not play anymore. God bless him. He's going in the Ring of Honor. I can't wait for that day. He's a warrior of a player, but he can't play anymore. Well, those things are what led to this defense being so bad. Daniel Sorensen shouldn't be out on the field. It's not his fault. God bless him. He's a wonderful undrafted story that has come in and contributed to a defense. And I'd rather have Daniel Sorensen than some guy who doesn't know what he's doing. But Daniel Sorensen should not be playing as much as he's played. So the Chiefs have to get better. So Sorensen goes down for 8 weeks. And I say, good. Good from this standpoint, not because the man is hurt, but good because it forces the Chiefs and Bob Sutton and Andy Reid to pick a younger, more athletic option. And if they don't have a more athletic option, then we have a really big situation with Brett Veach. We're starting to see problems with Brett Veach. Now, I don't think that's the case. I think out of Watts, I think out of Murray, I think there's got to be a more athletic. McQuay, take your pick. Somebody in that mix has to be more athletic than what they were getting to this point from Daniel Sorensen. And so if Sorensen wasn't going to get bumped to third or fourth safety, listen, we're in trouble anyway. So the same way we say, why not play the young guys with the Royals? Why not play guys with more athleticism? Live with some mistakes and get them up and ready to play. Live with the mistakes in training camp. Live with the mistakes in preseason games. Play them more in preseason games. Get them up and running. Here's one thing that's very important to keep in mind. This is not a rebuild year for the Chiefs. It's not. It's year one of the best window that this franchise has had to win a Super Bowl since Len Dawson was in his prime. Bar none. The cap era, instead of creating parity with the salary cap has actually worked the opposite. It has created dynasties. It has created an iron fist around playoff spots by the teams who have the quarterbacks. Those that overpay the quarterbacks, because they have to because they don't want to lose them, consistently make the playoffs but ultimately fall short. To those that have the quarterbacks on the first contract or they have the greatest quarterback that's ever played that's taking 60 cents on the dollar for what he should be making,
right,
in Tom Brady to create the cap room, those are the teams that win. See, the salary cap era and it being part of the parity equation is crap. It has not worked that way. The better general managers, the better coaches, of which Andy Reid is one of them, of which I'm hoping and optimistic and seeing good signs to think that Brett Veach will prove himself to be one of those guys, will dominate and will own the playoffs. Without that franchise quarterback, Andy Reid's been in the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, won back-to-back division titles, and had a winning record every single season he's been the coach. We're in good hands in Kansas City. We're in very good hands in Kansas City. But to finish this thing off, Daniel Sorensen can't be playing. And let me tell you something else. When we ask, why is Bob Sutton here? How many years was Marcus Peters in Kansas City?
3.
Right? And he just like there's no way you can say, oh, Daniel, I am not in any way, shape, or form telling you Daniel Sorensen's why this defense has been crap the last 2 years. That's not it. Other things have happened. Bad cap management by John Dorsey, which we screamed about when they botched the Halee renegotiation, then signed him again. We screamed about it here. How can you be signing this guy? This is not an Andy Reid-like move. And I do think that the Tom Halee contract, I have no information whatsoever, but I know what Andy Reid did with the Philadelphia Eagles, and it was always to get out from under a guy a year early rather than a year late. He could not have been on board. He could not have been on board with the Tom Halee move. $8 million in cap room. At that time, we're talking about 5% of your cap for a guy that didn't play a significant snap. When he got out there, he couldn't play. That's part of what got here. Not good enough talent in the secondary is part of what got the Chiefs here. And we'll talk about the cap structure of some of their players because Khalil Mack is on the trading block for the Raiders, and Chiefs fans are dancing in the aisles and giddy for it. And I'm going to tell you, it may be short-term gain for long-term pain for Chiefs fans. You might be celebrating the wrong thing, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But from this, Marcus Peters has been in town for 3 years. I read you the numbers. Marcus Peters, 3 years. Marcus Peters joined a defense that when he got here was number 2 in points allowed, number 7 in yardage allowed. His rookie year, they were number 3 in points allowed, number 7 in yardage allowed. His second year, they were 7 in points allowed, 24 in yards. And his third year, they were 15th in points allowed and 28th in yards. By no means am I telling you that Marcus Peters is what has made this defense bad. I'm not. I'm not saying that. He had skills. But I'm very open to the fact that he crushed them against the run. And I'm open to the fact that schematically it didn't work. We know this. Good or bad, right or wrong, and many other factors. Injuries to Houston, injuries to Barry, bad cap decisions, perhaps even poor draft picks. Tano Passanioza's second-round pick should have done much more last year. I know there's great optimism being written about him because in shorts he's apparently setting the edge. Let me see it tomorrow night. I won't even begin to entertain the idea that Tano Passanioza should be on this roster till I see him do something against a guy in another colored jersey. All right? Bad draft decisions, cap moves, injuries all led to it. But that's the scenario that has Bob Sutton here. Bob Sutton has kicked ass with this franchise. He has. You don't remember it because we remember only the recent. But, oh, he definitely has had success. He better have success now. There's no doubt. I'm on record that I would have made a change at the defensive coordinator. They didn't. Okay. Andy Reid's more patient than me. Perhaps Andy Reid's more loyal. Perhaps it will cost the Chiefs a season because this, in the first-year quarterback window, first-contract quarterback window, the time is now. This is not a rebuilding year. Let's be crystal clear. It is not a rebuilding year. He served an apprenticeship because you wanted him to serve an apprenticeship. And no doubt after a piss-poor game, we're going to hear Andy Reid say, well, you got to remember he's only making his sixth start. And I'm going to laugh. We expect bumps. I get it. But they're in a win-now mode. You're always in a win-now mode in the NFL unless you're blowing it up. If you're not blowing it up, you're winning now. This is what they've been pointing towards. The time to win is now.